Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
You are listening to the Aston Villa Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. This is it, as it is every Monday. Your Aston Villa Fan Show takeover is happening right now. You can get involved. Tweet us at Love Sport Radio or call us 0208 7020 558. There may have not been a game on the weekend, but the season is heating up. We are on the home straight. The home stretch, the business end of the season, and let me tell you, it will be a slugfest, a toe-to-toe fight to see who is staying up. But the man who joins us now, and it is the great man who knows everything there is to know about Aston Villa, that's why he is here to charge towards the end of this Aston Villa Fan Show. It is Ryan Pitcher from Under a Gaslit Lamp. Ryan, always good to have you on. There might not be a game on the weekend, but still so much for us to talk about and look over as we look not only for what is a busy February and March for Aston Villa, but a busy end to the season now, because when it's every point, every goal, every tackle, every minute that counts and one that matters as Aston Villa try to stay not only in the Premier League, but they're going for that League Cup win, their first domestic final since 2015. Ryan, we have to start, though, obviously, with the big news, the sort of headlines that have been making their way across the last few days, and not ones that Villa fans, A, really want to hear, want to see, and want to talk about, but it is that Jack Grealish, apparently, Man United is stepping up their chase and pursuit of the great man, Mr. Villa himself, at the minute.
Yeah, I mean, it's tiresome, really, when it's just constant, all forms of media, radio, and the newspapers. It just seems that they're baiting Grealish to ditch his boy or club in the summer, you know. And I think one of the major newspapers, ran a story linking Grealish with a move to United because, you know, supposedly he was looking for a house there or some nonsense. So potentially a big money move in the summer, but quite frankly, for us Villa fans, I think it's getting a little bit boring now. It's just been constant throughout the season, and I think we should just take it one step at a time. I do genuinely believe, similar to what Micah Richards was saying the other day, if we do stay up and the owners invest, then Grealish will be a Villa player going into next season. However, you know, if worse came to the worse, and needless to say, it would probably be the other way round, and he probably would have to leave to fulfil his own personal goals.
Yeah, it is a tough one, Ryan, and even us talking about it, it's never easy. You know, he is Mr. Aston Villa at the minute, and I know the fans love and adore him. He single-handedly kept him up, took him up, and that's how some fans see it. We're hearing lots of numbers bandied about. I know in a day and age where we talk about social media saying, oh, Jack Grealish has liked this post, he's tweeted this, he's liked a Man United post. What is the ultimate fan's reaction on this, hearing that he could go? Because obviously no one wants to lose him, but are they resigned to maybe losing him, as you say, if they go down and to achieve personal goals, or if they start think, why not stay and why not be a legend here and be the big fish in maybe, without disrespect, a smaller pond as one to the supposed big clubs he's linked with?
Yeah, I mean, we've seen it before, haven't we, in terms of across all spectrums, all football clubs where a great leaves and it doesn't necessarily go swimmingly. You saw Benteke when he moved to Liverpool. You've seen Hazard from Chelsea to Real Madrid. He hasn't hit the ground running. For Grealish himself, perhaps more differently. It's not often you have players nowadays where they're playing at the boyhood club, you know, been playing there since he was, 6 years old, and his family are Villa from through. He's Villa from through. He's captain of the football club. He's living the dream, so to speak, our dream. And, you know, I would arguably say, I mean, it's very easy to put yourself in their shoes, isn't it? You know, I mean, we would love that, of course. We would love to be doing exactly what Jack Grealish is doing, needless to say. And you have to ask yourself, when you're earning that sort of money, you know, does it really matter earning, you know, anymore? Does it really? I mean, the numbers seem, you know, rather insignificant. You know, he could be, could quite easily become a Villa legend, a one club man. I don't think fans would necessarily oppose him leaving for a bigger club, especially if we went down, and in terms of, you know, achieving what he wants to achieve, being in the England setup, playing for major honours and such. But I think fans would prefer it to be across Europe. You know, there has been, you know, quite incredible links to Barcelona and Real Madrid are supposedly keeping tabs and such. You know, that sort of transfer, I think if we were to go down, you know, I don't think fans would necessarily mind too much. You know, I'd rather him do that and, you know, not risk coming back up and then him scoring in front of us in the whole, you know, towards the whole end, and you know we would never celebrate, but yeah, we'll have to keep tabs on it. As I say, I think if we stay up, it will stay, and if we go down, then it'll go the other way.
Yeah, that's enough on that, Ryan, because it even hurts me to talk about it. I've been doing the Aston Villa fan show now, and, you know, it is like losing such a key core piece of that team, a spine of the side, what he's done this season. You know, you want those boyhood players to stay with you throughout and become a one-club man, but we don't see that very often anymore. It's a very, very rare sight. Moving on, though, even though Aston Villa didn't play this weekend, right, it wasn't the worst weekend in terms of results for Villa. Brighton and Watford drawing, Bournemouth losing. So maybe, even though Villa didn't play, they had obviously one eye on it. It worked out for the best.
Oh, listen, those were the dream results for us. There's no denying that. You know, we wanted Brighton and Watford to draw. You know, it meant that Watford would stay behind us, and Brighton are firmly within sight and within sight of us. And obviously, Bournemouth losing late on was pretty perfect. And now it's up to us to try and take the gauntlet, step it up, and go and get a result on Sunday and beyond that, really.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting one. How would they have spent this time away then, this winter break? What have you heard? Because we know many teams have obviously gone off warm weather training camp. How have Dean Smith's side spent this time? And how would they use it to really kick on in that second half?
Well, I think there's been a few pictures bandying around on social media of Grealish and Mings on holiday together. I tell you what, Charlie, I want a body like Tyrone Mings. I mean, that guy is literally a god. You know, the Villa ladies are a very, very lucky bunch. Yeah, there's been a few pictures of them. I'm sure that, you know, last week they would have been having a little break and, you know, probably going on holiday. They were on holiday together, so it seems. And, yeah, just enjoying themselves. And I'm sure this week they're back at it and preparing for Spurs this weekend. I would expect no less. And it's obviously a big game for us. So, yeah, we need to get at it. And they've had their time, I'm sure. And now it's time to get to, as you say, the business end.
Yeah, because it's a tough one, isn't it, Ryan? And I completely agree with you about Tyrone Mings, by the way. Absolutely cut like an Adonis. But when you see players, it's important for them to have their downtime, you know, not just the physical side effects of playing every 3-4 days in the Premier League and the cup competitions, but the mental effect, being in that dogfight, they can just rejuvenate, recharge, reinvigorate themselves for that second half push. That's just as key, just the players having a bit of downtime with the boys. We've seen the photos, look like they enjoyed themselves, but they need to as well, don't they?
Yeah, I think, as you say, and we often say, is the mental side of the game is equally, if not more, to me, it's more important than the physical side of things. And so, yeah, I think, you know, having this break has definitely been a good thing for us. As I say, it is a real shame that, you know, we didn't get something at Bournemouth, because looking at the league table and the results that have gone our way over the past couple of weekends, even, as you say, without kicking a ball this weekend, we would have been in a much more favourable position. But, you know, I think, yeah, that time of reflection is important. And, you know, they'll be coming back to it this week feeling a lot more rejuvenated. They'll be looking at that league table and thinking, look, you know, we're actually, you know, if before the ball was kicked this season, you know, looking at that league table, Would you have taken it? Probably. In the grand scheme of things, you probably would have taken it. And so yeah, I think it's a good time not only to get your body back in the game, but and relax, but also to get back on it mentally and almost kind of refresh and regroup and look at it almost objectively and say, look, we're actually in a pretty good position, a cup final on the horizon, and also outside of that relegation zone.
Yeah, and before we look at the game, obviously with Spurs on the weekend, I want to talk about Tom Heaton's injury as well. Right, I did want to ask this, an interesting one. This is the things that pop up when Aston Villa aren't playing. You've loaned Scott Hogan to Birmingham, cut his loan short at Stoke. He's joined rivals Birmingham in really a strange move, allowing him to play for one of your rivals, albeit in the division below the Championship. And lo and behold, doing what he does best, scoring goals. Couldn't get the goals, but he's a man who does know how to score. What are you making of it?
Oh, he's doing bits there, isn't he?
Unbelievable.
Yeah, it's absolutely, you couldn't write it. But no, I mean, I think he was hard done by. I think the Steve Bruce system and style of play didn't really suit him. To me, he's a clever little forward. He does make good runs. You've seen what he did at Brentford. Obviously, was scoring goals for fun there, and he certainly can bag them in the Championship. And I do think he was hard done by. A lot of fans are very anti Scott Hogan, and I don't think they necessarily appreciate the hard work that he does off the ball. He does stretch games. He's sort of kind of like a Shane Long-esque type player, but scores more goals in the Championship. But he just wasn't getting the service when we had him. And I thought when Dean Smith came in, I thought that might have been, where it would turn around. But lo and behold, he's not part of his plans. And I'm sure come the end of next season when his contract's up, we'll be trying to get rid of him on for cheap in the summer, I suspect, get him off the wage bill. But it doesn't look like he's got much of a future here, but certainly does down the road. So
yeah, let's hope he does maybe have a future. It's always hard to see him banging in the goals for a rival like that. Like I said, even and albeit a division below. Well, Ryan is staying around with me. We're going to talk about Tom Heaton's injury, the game on the weekend, and a few things regarding the League Cup final, ticket scams, and are you making the trip to Wembley? And also, there'll be a special piece on the brilliant charity work that Ryan is doing.
Love Sport.
You're listening to the Aston Villa Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. There is still time tonight to get your views heard on the fan show. It's what Love Sport Radio does best. Tweet us at Love Sport Radio or call us 0208 7020 558. You can WhatsApp on the same number. You can put a question to Ryan tonight. What do you make of this winter break? How are they spending the time? And what is your feeling and concern heading into the second half of the season? We know how crucial each game is going to be. Ryan, always now joined by my brilliant co-host, I want to talk to you about Tom Heaton, because we know he made a TV appearance on the weekend, and it's actually it was a bit of a sad one, because the injury that he had, out of that lineup for Villa, we know what happened bringing in Reina, but he said maybe the injury, and one now at 33, it was one that was worse than he first feared at the time, and it's going to be a long road to recovery.
Yeah, it's a real pity for him. He was doing really well for us, and obviously, what with the Euros round the corner, I'm sure he would have gone in some capacity. Obviously, not number one, but I think he would have made the plane, to be honest, especially in the form that he was in. It doesn't surprise me. With goalkeepers, they do seem to have an extended period on top of the normal years for footballers, and at 33, it's disappointing. It is disappointing. We obviously when he came in, we had high hopes, and he was definitely fulfilling them. And now it could be a case of I'm not saying that he's doing. Needless to say, he's not done this intentionally. We've had our fair share of layabouts at the club in terms of, you know, players that were picking up big money that weren't doing anything. And I would just hope that if worst came to the worst, that, you know, if he did have to retire early, then he just wouldn't necessarily stick around picking up a wage for the sake of it. And I think someone like Tom Heaton, I do think he's got, you know, a really strong moral compass. And let's see how he gets on, and hopefully, you know, it's a quicker recovery than what he envisages, and, you know, he's back with us next season.
Yeah, such a shame. Joined this season, you know, took the opportunity. It's such a shame it didn't quite work out for him. Obviously, it is Spurs on the weekend, right? Back to football. We can finally judge that game. And if I'm being honest, this is a game where you fancy Villa may get something. Am I right, Rye? Spurs haven't been at the greatest, you know, under Jose Mourinho. It's not been for them a season to remember, but they are still up there. They're in the knockout stages of Champions League. But you're seeing, potentially, some vulnerabilities in that Tottenham side.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think we've got a chance of pulling something off in this one. You know, like I said to you before, the lads have got to be looking at that league table and thinking we've got a good chance of moving away from that drop zone, and the crowd will be right on side as well, spurring them on. And we've got to make our home games count, as our away record leaves a lot to be desired. You know, I've not seen a lot of Spurs since Mourinho has come in a sense. You know, to me, they've been pretty average. You know, they're still conceding goals, and excluding the Man City result, you'd have to say that they've been sort of struggling past teams and hardly ripping up any trees. You know, both of their FA Cup games went to replays, and in the league they narrowly beat, you know, the likes of Norwich, drew to Watford, lost to Liverpool and Southampton. Admittedly, you know, their defensive record has improved over time. It has taken them a little bit of time, but I still think they have their vulnerabilities. As you say, you know, Serge Aurier is for me nothing short of a liability, and, you know, they've been chopping and changing on the left side with Sessegnon and what's his face, the new mate, Tanganga.
Yeah, Jaffet Tanganga.
Yeah, and in the central midfield, you know, they don't give themselves much protection. You know, I really like Harry Winks as a footballer. He's a neat little player, but if you're playing him, Lo Celso, Lamela and Ali in that sort of midfield, then you're going to get open up at times. And, you know, I can foresee maybe they might try and look to groom Gedson Fernandez to do the same sort of role that Fernandinho does at City. You know, I don't know, but perhaps they may go for that sort of thing later on down the road. And need I say it, not having Harry Kane is, of course, a big blow for them. So, yeah, I think we can run them close, that's for sure.
Yeah, and it was interesting because you played them. It was the opening day of the season, wasn't it? John McGinn scored. Aston Villa took the lead 1-0. It's a shame they didn't see out that. Dean Smith on the day saying, you know, Spurs have showed their class and that extra stamina that Villa didn't have in the last 20 minutes or so. But Villa were blistering out the blocks, weren't they?
Yeah, no. I mean, we thought that was going to be, we were very,
this is going to be an easy ride day. This Premier League.
Yeah, I mean, we were very impressed that day. I thought we played really, really well, and we ran them really hard. You know, that particular day I was watching it round a neighbour's house who's a Spurs fan, and, you know, he gets a little bit narky when they go behind, and he thought, you know, they're in deep trouble here. But yeah, I think it was more so, you know, come the end, you know, I just didn't think we could give much more. I think they had a little bit more left in the tank, and they come good in the end. But yeah, we ran them close, and I think, you know, we can. I genuinely think this weekend we're gonna get the 3 points. I genuinely think that.
Right, what a turn up that would be. That would really, you know, push Villa on, especially picking up points where maybe other teams aren't expecting them to do that. Right, I would say prediction, but I know it's a victory now. So what scoreline are you going with? And for fans who listen every week, and for fans who maybe are just tuning in, Ryan's got a bit of a good ratio when it comes to predicting scorelines.
I'm going to go 2-1 Villa.
2-1 Villa. Wouldn't that be something? I won't push you for scorers. We won't try our luck, but I know on this fan show, we'll happily accept a 2-1 scoreline and 3 points. Right, I just want to change pace a little bit away from that fantastic victory, because I know you yourself, aside your love for Aston Villa, are doing some brilliant, brilliant charity work, and I know you wanted to quickly talk about that.
Yeah, I mean, I've been fortunate enough to be involved in quite a bit of charity stuff surrounding Aston Villa Football Club, you know, previously helping raise money for Project B6. For those Villa fans will know who they are, but for you, Charlie, they're a group that helped to enhance the match day atmosphere at Villa Park with like flags, banners and mosaics and such. And I've also helped generate money for the Spillian Petrol Foundation, and we're part of the team that introduced Kit A to Villa Park, where, you know, fans have been able to donate kit to poor people from across the world, albeit primarily in Africa. And then last year it was, I contacted Birmingham City Council about my idea to send underprivileged families to the football, and they put me in touch with a charity called Tomorrow's Men. Now, this is a charity that primarily work with young boys who have had their fair share of problems in life, often things that they've little control over, you know, perhaps a difficult upbringing and family issues and so forth. And they work with many single parent families, usually single mothers, and assist them in developing relationships with their children, you know, teaching them techniques around discipline where necessary, and supporting young sons with having a positive male role model in their lives. You know, when I spoke to the head of the charity, Geraldine Moore, last year, it was evidently clear that they'd struggled with a lack of funding, and that allowing these families a few hours or perhaps even a day off from financial and emotional hardship would go a long way. And, you know, this reason was why it resonates with me so much, as I came from that sort of family when I was growing up, a way below the poverty line, single parent family. And I totally understand where she was coming from. And to be quite honest, I just really wanted to help them out. And so we did. So last year we paid for 23 children, and 18 adults to go watch the Villa Borough game, which we actually won 3-0. So perhaps they were lucky mascots. And it was great to meet Geraldine and her partner before the game. And so I'm hoping to do the same again this season. So on Sunday we released the GoFundMe link, and we're hoping to raise £600 at a minimum.
Well, Ryan, that is absolutely brilliant work. I can only applaud you and everyone else that's involved. For fans that are listening, because I really want to, where can we find that link, and what ways can we donate and help and keep up with your progress?
Yeah, so Heart of the Holt posted out the other day. The reason why I'm doing it with them is because we did it with them previously, the Heart of the Holt page. I know that plenty of people at my work, for example, are going to be getting involved, and you know, I'm sure we'll get plenty of donations. It's only just gone live.
Oh, absolutely. Well, please check out that. I'm sure if Rye, you post a Twitter, we can like it after the show on social media, and just anyone to help you raise awareness for brilliant. We hope the kids have a great day. Such a genuine, brilliant idea there, the kids helping to go and see a Villa game. And like Rye said, if it helps get a 3-0 victory and 3 points, it makes even more sense. Rye, I just want to quickly talk about as well. No football, a packed show as always with you. But I want to quickly talk. It is the fan show. We want to highlight some fans' problems. There's been a little bit of ticket scams, League Cup final, getting down to London, Wembley. Can you tell us a little bit about that as well?
Yeah, I mean, with tickets, you know, it seems that there are plenty available in the Man City end from reputable reselling sites for as little as, you know, 75 to 80 quid, whereas for Villa you're looking at 300 to 350 at a minimum. But I guess those prices are more of a reflection of how successful each football club has been over the past few years. So they're probably used to finals, you know, and we're definitely not. You know, I do think it's important to forewarn supporters of scams, as there has been a few fans already that are complaining about transferring money to supposed fellow fans and then them not having the proof that they were able to obtain tickets for the final. You know, all I can say is just be careful out there. Even for someone like me, when I'm trying to find some away tickets, I will often get contacted by what I can clearly identify as scammers. You know, it's not a nice world out there, and when it comes to ticketing, you know, football's a big business, and when there's money floating about, then about in the industry, it's bound to attract a portion of unsavoury characters. So just be careful. That's all I'm saying to supporters there.
Yeah, absolutely. Please be careful that we echo that. And obviously, Ryan's charity work. Please, please, if you're following Under a Gaslit Lamp and the Heart of the Halt, check those guys out. Follow and click the link and do and help whatever you can. It is much appreciated. Ryan, always a delight to chat to you. Remember, you can have your Villa show on the Villa fan show every Monday, 8 to half 8, right here at Love Sport Radio. We will see you, as always, next Monday at 8.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.